Thursday, great to be here. If you're on hold, stay there. But as promised, we are joined right now by the head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies. He signed a three-year contract with the Grizz in the offseason. Memphis is in first place in the Southwest Division. They're at New Orleans tomorrow night. That is an 8 p.m. Eastern start. We are joined by the coach, J.B. Bickerstaff. J.B., it's so good to have you on the program. How are you?
I'm good. Appreciate you having me.
Great to have you. Thanks so much. Let me start with last night. You beat the Clippers 96-86, and then after that game you said, quote, we're in this for the long haul. Over the course of the first quarter of the season, let me start right there. What have you seen about this group that lets you know that they are in it for the long haul?
I think just the commitment to one another and the commitment to, you know, what we're trying to get done. You know, not playing the typical style of NBA basketball that's going on right now. You know, hanging our hat on the defensive end, understanding that, you know, from a coach's perspective, we understand how hard that is, you know, every single night to do things that are difficult over and over and over again. And our guys have never flinched. You know, they've bought in from the beginning, and every challenge we get them, they take it head on.
You know, back to your point about not playing the typical NBA style. For instance, when people think of the Grizzlies, the first thing that generally comes to mind is grit and grind. But to your point, it's an era where the game is being played faster and faster, but you've got no problem slowing it down. So what does grit and grind mean to you?
Well, it's a mindset more than anything. You know, we like guys who, you know, don't mind taking one-on-one challenges. If there's a ball on the floor, they're willing to dive for it and go and get it. Excuse me. You know, set screens, all the hard things and difficult things that the game presents. We're looking for guys that accept those and want to go for those things. You know, the pace of the game, we like to say we want to bring people to the mud and see how many people like to play in the mud where our guys are comfortable. And, you know, it's a unique situation because, you know, as all the other 29 teams prepare and play against one another, you know, they're used to playing up pace, fast tempo. And then when they play us, we like to slow them down. And it makes some people uncomfortable.
Grizzlies head coach J.B. Bickerstaff is my guest. I love that phrase. We want to bring people to the mud and see how comfortable they are. Because you guys are comfortable in the mud. What happens when you bring other teams into the mud and you start to pound them? Generally, what is their reaction and are they comfortable?
Well, you know, obviously there's some teams that are capable of playing, you know, both styles of basketball. You know, talent is what talent is. But, you know, overall you see people start to get a little more anxious, you know, because they're used to getting so many field goal attempts up or so many three-point shots up that we end up seeing them get rushed and take bad shots. Or they turn the basketball over because they are so anxious. And then, you know, on the defensive end, because they want to get back on offense, you know, and that's where their thought is, they're making mistakes on the defensive end, and it helps us create opportunities for our guys.
We're talking to J.B. Bickerstaff. Last night also was Joakim Noah's debut for you. So what does he bring to the team, and what did you make of what you saw from him last night?
He brings, you know, a tenacity. He's a ferocious defender and competitor. He's extremely intelligent, which, you know, helps us with what we're trying to do on both sides of the ball. And, you know, for his first game, I thought he was really good. You know, obviously he's got to work his way into, you know, NBA shape where he could play a 7-8 minute run. But, you know, in the minutes that he played, he was extremely effective. You know, he brings an energy that the crowd and our guys can feed off of, a willingness to push guys and conversate. So we're excited about it.
J.B. Bickerstaff joining us here in the jungle. You know, let me ask you about Mike Conley. This is a guy that I really respect a great deal, but I feel like he doesn't necessarily get the love that he deserves and that he's earned nationally. So what does he mean to your team, not just from a production standpoint, but also from a leadership standpoint?
He's the orchestrator. And, you know, I agree with you as far as, you know, the respect. There's, you know, it blows my mind being around him every day that, you know, he's never made an all-star team. You know, his talent level, you know, is up there with the elite level guards that we have in our game today. But he puts everybody in their place. He orchestrates, he organizes on both sides. You know, he's really good defensively, at getting the ball funneled where we want it to go. And then, you know, in the fourth quarter, you know, the reason they call him Captain Clutch is because he's going to take the big shot. And most times he's going to make it. So, we're highly dependent on him. And, you know, for people nationally who don't get a chance to watch us play a ton, I think it's worth taking the time to check us out and keep your eye on Mike Conley and see just how good he really is.
I mean, that's so true. The fact that he's never made an All-Star team is hard to fathom for me. Then you've got Marc Gasol, who was the Defensive Player of the Year back in 2013, but he's getting a lot of run to win it again this season. How important is he to your identity on the defensive end?
Well, I mean, he's the anchor, and I think that's where it starts for us. Having a guy who can, single-handedly shut down the paint is huge for what we're trying to do. Having a guy who's so intelligent that he can communicate actions to his teammates before they happen and anticipate those actions happening, makes everybody's job easier and allows all of us to be in spots earlier, which helps us defensively because now we're not guessing and jumping and opening opportunities because we can anticipate and beat guys to spots. So he's having to change a little bit because the game is so perimeter oriented. But he still has the ability to get out on the perimeter. Last night we switched him on to smaller guys, and he could keep them in front of them and force them to take tough shots. So he's invaluable for what he does for us.
We're talking Memphis Grizzlies basketball head coach JB Bickerstaff joining us. Then you pair Gasol with rookie Jaren Jackson Jr. And to me, it's an amazing combo. You knew you had something special in Jackson when you drafted him, but did you know he'd be this good this fast?
To be honest with you, I thought he'd be, more of an impact defensively than he has been, than offensively. But to our surprise and our pleasure, his offensive skill set at this age, is perfectly suited for the NBA game, but it's high level. His ability to, run the floor and post early and finish with either hand, with soft touch, the ability to use the glass, and then his ability to stretch out and make threes. For a guy who's 6'11 with a 7'5 wingspan and huge hands, a lot of times controlling the ball from the free throw line or the three-point line is difficult, but he's got such smooth touch and such plays with such grace, put the ball on the floor, face up guys and drive them and finish. So we've been pleasantly surprised, and we definitely feel like we have a gem there.
We're talking to JB Bickerstaff for a few more moments. Of course, your father had an outstanding NBA career. He had more than 400 career wins as an NBA coach. And I know one of the things that he taught you that he felt really strongly about is you got to shoot your players straight. You've got to be honest with your players. How did he go about maybe teaching you that, and why was that so important to him?
It was a matter of respect. One of the things that I learned from him is, players are people too, and they deserve our respect. A lot of times we get caught up and see them as pieces on a chessboard, and we're moving this guy to trade here, we're drafting, and those types of things. But, they're people, and the more honest you are with them, even in the moment, if they don't accept it, down the line, I've seen a bunch of guys come back to my dad and tell him how much they appreciated him being honest. And, that's just the way he was with us. My mom was a school teacher, So she had to have hard conversations with kids all the time. And it was just the way we were brought up is just, if you want to earn people's respect, you just be honest with them, no games, no mind games. And then people are more likely to give you all they got if they believe they can trust you.
So let me finally ask you this. You were on the Woj pod recently, and you talked about the fact that you were an interim coach with Memphis last season. You'd already been through that as an interim with Houston, and then last year you took the approach that the priority had to be the organization and the organization's needs, that it was not the place for you to think about yourself. So at that time, you got to think there's only a certain number of head coaching opportunities in the NBA. So how are you able to approach it where you weren't constantly thinking about what you had to do to keep that job?
It was tough. We went through some very, very difficult times. I give the credit to my parents and the way we were brought up. And, as a teacher and as a coach, you have to be selfless, and you can't think about yourself. And I watched my parents do that, over and over again. When I worked with my dad in Charlotte, for those three years, I just watched him. We were an expansion team. We brought in new guys. We were just building, trying to set a foundation. And instead of him going out and trying to make a quick fix, he did what was right by the organization. He took some losses on his career record for it, but it was the right thing to do. So, you know, it was the right thing for the organization, you know, to go through what we had to go through to end up with a guy like Jaren Jackson. And you just hope that in the long run, people look back and, you know, have some respect for what you've done, and ended up working out here for me in Memphis.
So, JB, one quick follow. In talking about the family business, as an example, I worked in the family business. My old man fired me. Nothing personal. I was not good at the job. I talked to Bobby Hurley for my podcast yesterday, and we talked about what it was like for him to coach under his brother Dan. I talked to Eric Musselman recently, and we talked about what it was like for him to work for his dad. What was it like for you to work for your father?
It was tough, to say the least. The standard that he held me to was a tough one, but he wanted me to be the best that I could possibly be. But, you know, it's when you go to work and you're at practice, and sometimes, you know, you get embarrassed because, you know, dad is still dad, and he gets on you like, you know, like your dad does in the privacy of your own home. But now you got 15 players and other assistant coaches who are watching you get, you know, get set straight. But, you know, it pushed me to get better, and we had a lot of fun together.
And now you've got yourself a 3-year contract, Wiz, and a first-place team in the Southwest Division. JB Bickerstaff, my guest. JB, really appreciate you. That was fun. Great to have you on the show. Thank you very much. Hope we can do it again soon.
Appreciate it. Anytime.
That was great. Thank you. Appreciate you. JB Bickerstaff, he's got them playing great ball and not doing it the way a lot of teams do it in the NBA right now, where they're up and down. It's still grit and grind. They want to get you in the mud and make you uncomfortable.